recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on, got to get on a show. Dr. Drew's poor first fertilizer.
Woohoo!
What's going on there?
By the way, I'm going to be doing, I have done Michaela Peterson's podcast, to keep an eye out for that. That's coming very soon. And I was looking at some of the border stuff going on these days, right? Bill Malugin is a guy I used to work with at the local news affiliate that I was at.
Great hair.
I don't want to confuse people with him in that, because he was at Fox Network local news. Now he's at Fox News, which is a whole different thing.
By the way, be worried if anyone answers the question. And when he asks Mayorkas, hey, what's going on with the border? And he goes, the border is secure, but we're working hard to make it more secure. Look, if you say to the transmission guy, hey, is my transmission fixed? Is my car done? Yeah, car's done, transmission fixed, and we're going to continue to work on the transmission. Do not head over to pick up that car.
Right.
The transmission is not in the car. Now, if the border is secure, then you go, the border secure. That's it.
Yeah.
And we're working.
So now we have so-called asylum seekers being bussed up to New York City. And did you see this story where they put them up, taxpayer dollars, in a luxury hotel, all single males, families are seeking asylum, all single males. And there are coming to New York a group of families seeking asylum. And so now it's time for these young men to head on out to Brooklyn for some more, you know, housing for lower quality, but for a more sustained period of time.
Yes.
They're refusing to leave the hotel.
Yes.
Those that did leave the hotel got involved with activists in the lobby who gave them tents, and they set tents up on the sidewalk in front of the hotel.
Tents. Yes, but
what?
Well, here's what people don't really understand, which is when the 49ers, not the football team, but the actual 1849ers, came to San Francisco to strike it rich with a gold claim, it wasn't just them in pickaxes.
Right.
Levi Strauss came along and said, these guys need good, durable jeans. Well, I bet he called them dungarees.
Ooh.
And then restaurants started opening because you need to feed these guys.
Brothels.
And then whorehouses, probably before the restaurant, actually. Whorehouses, then restaurants. And whatever else comes along.
Yes.
And when the circus comes to town.
That's right.
So if you notice, and Gary can even find some of that, if you see some of those pictures of the tents laid out on the sidewalk, yes, in the picture you will see the tents, but you'll also see the food cart set up there as well, which is not the sanctioned one you see on every corner. It is just a modified shopping cart, because how long are you going to have a bunch of hungry people living on the sidewalk before some entrepreneurial type rolls his fucking shopping cart in with the propane tank on it and starts whipping up the grub?
Right.
So now it's not just them. It's the infrastructure that then rolls in.
Right. Now, this also...
drug dealers, prostitutes, you know, all food vendors, everything, all black market, all under the table, all everything you don't want.
And these same activists are the ones that are sustaining the homeless thing in our major cities. What? Who the fuck are these people, and why does anybody listen to them? Why aren't we doing everything to just go, get the fuck out of here? What is wrong with us? Who are these people?
We decided that Al Sharpton speaks for all black people, a fucking race hustler who owes the IRS $2 million. He just speaks. Look, it's not my fault. Why'd you sign off on this black community? Who the fuck is this guy?
At least he's got a career doing that.
That's right. He's got a career hustling people.
These people just doing activism, so-called, funded by somebody. Who the fuck funds them? Who pays for that food? Who pays for the tents? Who sends them in there? Who is it? Where is that coming from? And this is why I was talking about the border. The border looks very similar to me to all this. I'm starting to think everything's manufactured. Like, nothing is like as it seems.
Yeah,
it's all a, quote, narrative manufactured by somebody or some group to push that to make it look as though, when the reality is none of it would be happening if they weren't there, the activists, so-called.
Well,
who are they? Right. Why are we listening to them? Why aren't we putting them – why aren't we taking care of them? Forget the – I mean, like getting – dealing with them.
Well, first things first.
And by the way, if any of them has skateboards, I'm serious. A adult male with a skateboard, that is a symptom of sociopathy.
Yes.
So it could just be a bunch of sociopaths.
Think Beto O'Rourke. All right. Now, here's another part of this problem.
Yeah.
The problem is the proclamations versus what are you going to do? You know, so it's like if you're – it's like if your wife said all the nations hungry are welcome in this kitchen, all of them. I'll not turn away. And by the way, everyone would applaud. You know what I mean? Because you get great magnanimous points for just I want to help people.
I care.
Nobody's illegal. These people are humans. They need to be treated with dignity.
Yeah.
And they're all welcome in this kitchen. And I'm declaring it a sanctuary kitchen. And that's completely great. You get nominated, you get Mother of the Year, you get Housewife of the Year, and Woman of the Year, except for if someone starts showing up.
And you run out of money.
To the kitchen.
Both. Lots of people show up.
The day they start showing up to the kitchen,
yeah.
If your wife then got up one morning and went downstairs, there are four people in the kitchen, she'd go, what the fuck is going on here? Mm-hmm. And then they'd go, but this is a sanctuary kitchen. We're all welcome. And then she'd go, I don't have the money for the food. And where are you guys?
Sounds so much like your grandmother.
This place is a mess.
This is your grandmother.
And this place is a mess. This is not going to work. And I go, but this is what you said. This is what you wanted. This is your proclamation. All the places that announced there were sanctuary and everyone was welcome and nobody was whatever, they got dumped off there in sanctuary cities. And they went, what the fuck are we supposed to do with these people? I don't know. Perhaps you should have thought that through before you announced you were a sanctuary city.
I still wonder who the activists are. I wonder who's funding that.
There's something going on that it's this very small percentage of folks.
Who the activists are? Oh, tiny.
Yes, it's a tiny percentage.
It's a few thousand people in the country.
Yes, I'm an advocate for illegal aliens. I'm an advocate for the homeless. It spreads into COVID. It's
the ones. Have you seen, by the way, Echo Park lately? By there? They were the ones lying down when they tried to clean up the 4 tons of feces that were there.
Right.
Now they've had to fence the whole thing. Beautiful. I've never seen it look so beautiful. And kids' environments, you know, the play things.
Yes.
It's a utopia. Yeah. You got those people out, and now the public who pay for it can use it. But the activists would not hear that.
Yes.
They went nuts.
Okay. Can I?
Go ahead. Sorry.
I'll tell you the problem.
Yeah.
The problem is downstream of the activists. Yes. The activists represent next to nobody.
Who's listening to them? Why?
Well, hold on. There's three parts. There's the activists, just like there's the activists in Black Lives Matter, whatever social whatever there is. There's activists. Homeless, illegal, border, whatever, Black Lives Matter, COVID, whatever. Handful of activists. Okay. They, on their own, cannot really do much. Mm-hmm. They need a bullhorn.
Mm-hmm.
And so their bullhorn becomes the LA Times, the New York Times, even USA Today, NBC. They don't realize how far these sort of quote-unquote middle-of-the-road news organizations have gone hard left into the camp of the activists, right?
Right.
And look, I don't know. If you don't believe me, look at COVID. Okay, there's a New York Times, there's LA Times, there's USA Today, there's NBC. Were any of them fighting lockdowns or mandates or saying, I agree with DeSantis, we should open these schools? Did you see that on The View? No, they're all hard. You think it's as I said, you think it's between Fox and CNN. It's not. It's between Fox, CNN, NBC, ABC. It's between all of them and a handful of these other places on the right. So that's number one. They've been corrupted. They become the bullhorn for the activists. Then the dingbats who live in Los Angeles read the LA Times or even the USA Today, and they go, geez, right, man, we got to sit. Oh, man.
I
know what's going on. So then the dingbats think they're getting information from the USA Today or LA Times, but all they're getting is the information from the activists.
Right.
And then they get fucked up, and then they vote accordingly.
They interview the activist, and the activist goes, here's my position. And then the reporter doesn't go, who's funding this? Who told you to come here? How is this organized? Who pays for that food over there?
Right.
Who pays
and
for the water? Who pays for the
tents? It's a two-part policy, too, which is also it's not enough just to echo the voices of the activists, COVID, whatever. We need to smash those who dissent by calling them racist.
Yes.
They hate grandma.
They want to lock up
kids
homeless
or
people.
Something.
They hate the brown people.
So then we go there, and then we leave.
Family members.
And we leave it up to the crazy dingbat gypsies who voted in Gavin Newsom in a landslide. Then we leave it up to them to decide who's right, who's wrong. Is the LA Times right, or shall we be listening to Ben Shapiro or whomever? Or Tucker Carlson. And then they go, all right, I'm going with the LA Times. And then the policy. Now the policy kicks in. The policy is always a shit show because the policy never works and can't work. The policy is basically like you and I are a gay couple and we're horribly in debt. And I'm explaining we need to take out another credit card to start paying off the debt from the other credit card. And you go, but how's that going to work? Then we're going to have a debt on that credit card. And that has a higher interest rate than the credit card we're paying off. And I go, well, then we'll get a fourth credit card and I'll pay that one off. It fundamentally can't work. It can't work.
Right.
Then it becomes law. Then it happens. And then the same people who made it into law look around and go, what's going on? We can't absorb this, or this isn't working. Or the kids have been damaged because the schools have been closed, or whatever it is.
They barely look around, though.
Little bit. Well, they never say we're wrong.
Yeah.
They say they do what Weintraub does. Is they go, I never. What do you mean? I didn't ask for schools to be closed. You know.
No, they go, we have freedom here in California.
Right.
Florida's where they're. Those are the Nazis.
Right, and thus the shit show begins. That's how it works. And then the only thing that undoes the shit show is in this analogy, it'd be some prudent financial guy coming in going, look, you can't go to Starbucks every morning and get a triple latte, whatever. That's $9 a day times 7 days a week times 365 days. You start making your own fucking Sanka at home. You turn in the Jag. The lease and insurance is too much. You're going to start driving a Honda minivan.
Yeah.
And we need to suck it up here.
Yeah.
That's basically, at some point, somebody shows up to MacArthur Park with fucking bulldozers and goes, enough is enough.
Yes. But it goes very
far. But we have
far.
To undo what they did.
Yes. Hey, have you looked at your energy bill this month for heating, gas?
No.
Oh, my God.
300%.
Ours was nearly 400%.
Yeah.
Because it was cold.
It was over 300.
And it was mind-boggling. And we brought somebody over from the gas company to check for leaks. We thought we must have a leak or something. The guy checked now, and he goes, yeah, I've heard his bill is as high as $800. I'm like, God, if ours were just $800, I would be so happy. I'd be so happy. And I didn't even tell him. Oh my God, it's just unbelievable. And it's California. And what is their response?
We need more solar.
Those companies are gouging. They're gouging the customers.
I know. So there's something about California where gasoline and natural gas, they just gouge us, but not the other states in the union. They figured out that we're uniquely gougeable. We have the Walensky impending doom. This is April 2021, beginning of
April. All right, so this is when Omicron was well underway. Everything was looking good. All data going positive at this point.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started at CDC about 2 months ago, I made a promise to you. I would tell you the truth even if it was not the news we wanted to hear.
And she's reading this.
Now is one of those times when I have to share the truth and I have to hope and trust you will listen. I'm going to pause here. I'm going to lose the script. And I'm going to reflect on the recurring feeling I have of impending doom. We have so much to look forward to, so much promise and potential of where we are, and so much reason for hope. But right now, I'm scared.
And by the way, reading it still.
I know what it's like as a physician to stand in that patient room, gowned, gloved, masked, shielded, and to be the last person to touch someone else's loved one because their loved one couldn't be there. I know what it's like when you're the physician,
right,
when you're the healthcare provider, and you're worried that you don't have the resources to take care of the patients in front of you. I know that feeling of nausea when you read the crisis standards of care and you wonder whether there are going to be enough ventilators to go around and who's going to make that choice.
Hold on a second. That was way after that was even an issue.
We figured out the ventilators didn't work, right?
They were an issue in killing people, and we had more than enough. Many, many, many sat unused.
Wow, she's worried.
What is this?
And I know what it's like to pull up to your hospital every day and see the extra morgue sitting outside.
Hold on. Do you know why the extra morgue was there? They've now sussed that out. Because of the policies of the CDC, the actual morgue and the funeral parlors couldn't stay open.
Right.
They couldn't accept the bodies.
Right.
So they just accumulated at the hospital.
Yeah.
So this is the shit that we were buying.
I didn't know time when it would stop. We didn't have the science to tell us. We were just scared.
She was scared.
She was scared.
That's what we want as a leader?
Historic scientific breakthrough vaccines, and we are rolling them out so very fast.
I'm
speaking today not necessarily as your CDC director, or not only as your CDC director, but as a wife, as a mother, as a daughter, to ask you to just please hold on a little while longer. I so badly want to be done. I know you all so badly want to be done. We are just almost there, but not quite yet.
Oh, good. Well, she stopped a month later, 6 months later? She hasn't stopped yet.
To get vaccinated when you can, so that all of those people that we all love will still be here when this pandemic ends.
I can't.
All right.
So,
if shit I said 18 months ago or 2 years ago seemed insane, then I would kill myself. You look back on this shit. This isn't from the 70s. This is months ago.
Yeah.
You know, year and a half ago. 2 years. It's not 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you laugh. Well, that's not what you want.
No.
Okay.
And by the way, three breakthrough vaccines, one of which a month later was completely taken off the market.
Yes.
May 11th, we've decided that was the end of the emergency. And people go, why'd they decide May 11th? The same way they decided everything.
Right.
They just pulled a number out of the hat.
No.
Nothing had any scientific basis.
You don't want to know why it's May 11th?
Why?
I've told you and Emmy and Gary a million times of my plumber policy. Let's just say they did detect a leak in your gas line.
Okay.
And it turned out you needed 6 foot of pipe replaced.
Yeah.
Plumber comes by and goes, $1,000.
Right.
You go, where'd you get that number?
Yeah.
That doesn't, for what, half day's work? Or he says $879.26 with parts. And labor. And you go, well, that seems accurate. Right. So you can't just go May 1st. Plumber policy. If you go May 1st, you go, where the fuck did you get May 1st?
Right.
May 11th. Oh, he knows something. That's how that works.
Yes. Now, 6 feet. They must know something. 6 feet distancing.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. So the real question is here's the bigger question. The Democrats want to keep the emergency orders going.
They do?
Yeah.
Why? Still?
They like control.
Well, one thing I heard is that it deflects
Handing out money.
It deflects the student loan payments.
Yeah, yeah. They have their own whatever agenda. But
yeah.
they voted, and it was I don't know, 220. I think, and Gary, this is kind of interesting. I was trying to figure this out, and I couldn't. It was like 220 Republicans voted yes with no nays. on ending the emergency. 210 Democrats voted keep the emergency going, and one Democrat said enough with the emergency.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know who that hero is, but the problem is this. It's not that. It's then the New York Times has to do the headline, which is, you know, Republicans use pandemic for power or something. It's like they're just trying to stop this thing that should have been stopped a year ago. That's all.
Yeah.
Why is that Republicans pounce?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like, why is that them pouncing?
Yeah.
Ace, I'm looking at a Politico article that says the final tally was 220 to 210 with no members crossing party lines.
Oh, because I saw a graphic that had the 220 and the 209 or whatever, and one Democrat went with the nay or the whatever it was. But maybe that was just bad graphics or something. Because I was like, I did see the graphic, and I was like, who is this one Democrat that just said enough? Now, here's the bigger issue, and the part that you and I talk about or sort of vexed by. Forget about political parties or Democrats and Republican or whatever it is.
I'm now finding a Hill article that has a correction. Apparently the Politico had not corrected it. So it says, I think, 11 members crossed.
Find out who that
lines.
Is. Oh,
11.
Wow.
That's good. All right. But here's what I want to say to my Democratic California friends. One group wants to keep this going.
Yeah.
The other doesn't. Why do you side with the group that wants to keep it going? And then why do you think they want to keep it going? Because they're in fear of the children?
It's unity. Like, it's helping each other. We're together.
I don't even know what it is. How would this then affect your daily life?
You know, the students that can't get to school and they have to pay their debts and can't get a job. I who knows? I don't know.
And they just want to basically print and hand out money to people who don't want to pay rent or go to work or pay their student loans.
Yes,
why?
Yes,
that's attractive to you?
Of course.
You think that's how society should run? And then, by the way, simultaneously talking about raising your taxes, is that?
And dealing with the debt.
That's what you want? Or we're sanctuary city. Go to San Francisco. How's that working out? Like, this is what you want. It's weird.
Do they have – let's take San Francisco as the example. Do they imagine that it's on its way to something else? Is it, you know what I mean? It's on its way to complete destruction as far as I can tell.
Mm.
It's not some sort of utopia in evolution.
Christina, 45, Buffalo, New York.
Hi, Adam and Dr. Drew.
Hi, girl.
Adam, I've got something that drives me nuts, the way that red turn arrows drive you crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It is hot filler faucets. Are you familiar with these?
I'm familiar with everything you know.
Okay. So
I used to get angry. I would always piss off chicks. They go, do you know? And World War II, I go, do you know it? And they go, yeah. And I go, well, then I know it. Because I know everything you know. Now, I know a ton of shit you don't know.
Well, that's what we used to know, too. Who were the Allies and who were the Axis? And then we'd go venison or veal, right?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Christina.
No, no worry. By the way, unlike Kelly Osborne, I do know who fought in World War II. But anyway, pot filler faucets, I feel like, are the ultimate in laziness of today. And they make, can we really not, can we no longer fill a pot at our sink and walk it five steps to our stove now? We have to have a separate faucet at our stove.
This is a good subject to broach. Finally, after all these years.
Yeah.
All right, Christina, let me explain how my brain works. Okay.
Okay.
When I hear, you brought up left turn arrows. I am sitting at a left turn arrow and with a green light and no traffic in front of me, and there's absolutely no reason why I'm sitting here. And it's a waste of time.
Right.
And it causes more congestion and it burns more fossil fuels. There is no upside to me sitting here. None whatsoever. The pot filler. It kind of falls under the heading of steering wheel heater, you know, in a luxury car. Like, do you need it? Nobody needs it. I have a beautiful leather-wrapped steering wheel. On a cold morning, do I like to turn it on? Sure.
Yeah.
Would I miss it if it was gone? Probably not.
Right.
This is that. And even though it's unnecessary, like you could walk it over to, you know, walk the sink, walk it over. Yeah, filling it up. I mean, there are certain things. Like if I had the pot filler in my house, which I've never had, I would immediately turn the flame on as I started turning the water on to get that thing boiling as fast as I could for the pasta or the lobster, whatever the hell was going in there.
Yeah.
Like, number one, yes. Number two, it has happened that I've filled a pot up in the sink and tried to walk it over to the stove, and it slopped a little out.
Are you guys like, talking about –
I get it.
Are we talking about those big things that are on a sort of a spring? There, he's going to show it to me. Oh, that kind of thing. Okay.
You don't know what a fucking pot filler is?
I guess that what it was, but I did not know that it was what it's called. They also have them like on a big –
Just a commercial application over the sink.
Yeah, yeah.
So, unfortunately, while nobody needs a pot filler, and listen, if it was a commercial enterprise, if you're running a restaurant, then you probably would have one if you open an Italian joint. But this does not fall under the heading of it bothers the shit out of me.
It's one of those things when you don't have it, you don't think to yourself, God, I sure wish there was a faucet over here. Or
yeah.
Same with the steering wheel. You don't ever think, oh, if only the steering wheel heated up.
No.
Yeah. Let me appeal to you as a contractor, though. Isn't it just one more thing to leak, one more part to repair?
Yes.
One more thing that makes it difficult to sell a house in 20 years?
Well, I don't think it's one more thing to make it difficult to sell a house in 20 years. It's probably a sales point for, hey, look how luxurious our kitchen is, number one. Number two, it's really only in upper scale houses. So those people calling the 80-do plumber guy to come over there and redo the gasket, it's not neither here nor there to them in that tax bracket, I guess is what I'm saying. I just don't think it's the hill to die on. I'll put it to you this way, Christina. I'll ask Dr. Drew and maybe Gary and Emmy if Emmy's left the road. And you'll take your answer off the air.
Yo.
If you bought a new house tomorrow and it was no additional charge, would you want a pot filler in your kitchen or not?
If it was no additional charge, absolutely.
You would.
Sure.
I'm going yes.
I'd probably do it too, especially if we had a wall
all right. Well, now,
facing outside.
Now, unfortunately, we've arrived.
Yeah, that's why it happens.
Right, happens. Now, someone could say, well, it is an additional charge. They built it into the price of the house. And I'd still kind of go, yeah, but I'll take it. But listen, I would take a heated towel bar in the bathroom
right,
too.
It
doesn't
right.
mean I would use it.
Right.
I would take it. You right. know what I mean?
Yes, there are a lot of things that are superfluous.
Sitting at a red turn arrow when the light is green and there's no oncoming traffic is a flat-out waste of time.
Of your life.
Of your life. And that's why
it's
I
Valentine's
drive through
Day.
All of them.
It's Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Susan sent this over for you. She could not get over Phil's consumption of your See's candy that bothered her till this day.
Mm.
And do people know the story, right? You've told it a few
yes.
times. And that she particularly, I don't know if you told the story this way on the air, but how you had looking so forward to having a couple pieces of the See's candy, and lo and behold, Phil had destroyed the whole thing. So here's her Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
For you.
I don't want to say this, but a couple of years, the addendum to the story was a couple days later, a huge box showed up. And the huge box was four See's candies boxes, which is now stashed on top of the flue, on top of the vent over the stove where Phil couldn't get to it. So I now am flush with See's candy. But I will add this to the mix and thank her very much.
It's too funny.
All right. You can go to Palm Beach, Florida coming up. at the Palm Beach Improv doing one show there, stand up February 16th, and then the 17th and 18th going to Baltimore. And just go to amcroll.com. I got live shows coming everywhere. What do you got, Drew?
Go to Dr. Drew Podcast. It's, check that out. Also, drdrew.com for the After Dark and also the streaming shows on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 3 o'clock Pacific time.
So, till next time, Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.